Peter, James, and John are supposed to make the connections of what's happening right in front of them with what happened with Moses on Mount Sinai. Here they are again on a mountain, experiencing the revelation of God. Just as at Mount Sinai, God's voice is heard from a cloud into which they have entered. And like Moses, Jesus' experiences of the glory of God are so amazing that he is visibly changed. When Moses has gone up Mount Sinai and entered the cloud of God's presence, he is transfigured. And when he emerges, his face shines. And there on the mountain, as he prays, Jesus' face is transfigured. His clothes become dazzling white like the light of the sun. And suddenly, Jesus isn't alone. Moses and Elijah, the two biblical characters in whose likeness the long-awaited prophet of the end times was expected to come, were there with him, talking to him about his departure. And the word that they used for departure was Exodus, the same word that described the departure of the people of God from Egypt. Moses had led the people out of bondage in Egypt on a journey that would, for 40 years in the wilderness, eventually bring them to the promised land. And now Jesus is at the beginning point of a long journey, a journey to Jerusalem, to crucifixion and to resurrection, a journey which will bring us out of the bondage of sin and into the kingdom of God. Peter, James, and John were asleep as Jesus was praying and began talking with Moses and Elijah. So when they wake up and they see Jesus' shining face and Moses and Elijah, they get the connections between this and the experience of Moses on Mount Sinai, but their conclusions aren't quite right. They conclude that Jesus has arrived in glory. They don't realize that the journey is really just beginning, that before the triumph, there will be trial. New Testament scholar N.T. Wright observes that the disciples were overwhelmed by the transfiguration and blurted out things that they didn't mean. They were unable to understand how it was that the glory which they had glimpsed on the mountain, the glory of God's chosen Son, the servant who was carrying himself the promise of redemption, would finally be unveiled on a very different hill, an ugly little hill outside Jerusalem. And Wright points out that we too often find it completely bewildering to know how to understand all that God has done and is saying. And yet, as I read this passage, I realized something. We're not expected to understand all that God is doing and all that God is saying. When Peter blurts out, "Let's immortalize this moment. Let's just keep this right here. I tell you what, Jesus, we can build you a tent, and you a tent, and you a tent, and we can all dwell right here so that you're located. People can come from everywhere and come and see you. You'll be accessible to everybody. They can find you here. We'll put up road maps and signs, and it'll be a tourist attraction for sure." Caught up in the moment of this mountaintop experience, Peter wants to hold on to it. He wants to live basking in the glory of God. He wants others to come to this place and experience it too. But the experience of God, the experience of the glory of the Lord, is transitory. Time keeps going. The brilliance of the moment fades. No matter how hard we try, nothing, no picture, no description, no painting, no memory can fully capture it. So in response to Peter's spontaneous, almost reflex reaction to this moment, a moment so perfect that he just wants to hold on to it, God says, "This is my Son, the Chosen. Listen to him. Listen to him." That's how you capture it. That's how you experience the glory of the Lord with others. Listen to Him. Listen to Him and you will begin to shine too. We don't all of a sudden gleam. We don't gleam all the time. It's a process. It's a journey. Martin Luther said, "This life, therefore, is not righteousness, but growth in righteousness. It's not health, but healing. Not being, but becoming. Not rest, but exercise. We are not what we shall be, but we are growing toward it. The process is not yet finished, but it is going on. This is not the end, but it is the road. All does not yet gleam in glory, but all is being purified." Moses' face was so radiant from being in the glory of the Lord that when he came back down the mountain, the people couldn't bear to look at him. Jesus was so radiant from being in the glory of the Lord that Peter, James, and John were awestruck. They didn't know what to do. They just wanted to hold on to the moment. But God said, "Don't just stand there looking at him. Listen to him." When we come to this table, we are in the presence of the Lord. Jesus invites us and says, "Remember me and let me shine in you. Let me fill you with my grace. Let me fill you with my love. Not just so that you are full, but so that you are overflowing." We don't come to this table to capture a moment. We come to this table to experience the transformative power of being in the glory of the Lord. And to leave this table praying that Jesus would shine in us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.